Thank you, Pastor Rob. I feel like it is definitely a colder winter in here than it is out there. You realize that, oh, we actually could have a colder winter when we walk into the temperature of Powerhouse. How are we doing this morning? Yeah, we're good? Awesome. Well, let's start with prayer, hey? Let's turn our eyes to the Lord this morning. Thank you, God. Lord, we thank you that your presence is here, Father. Jesus, that you gave us access to God. You made a way, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that we can gather around your presence and around your word, Lord. Speak to us this morning, God. Transform us with your word. Rest upon us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning, I want to start by asking a question. I wonder if there's people, anyone in the room, that might have a desire or a dream or a vision on their heart for the future. Something that God has placed and stirred in you. Wonder if there's anyone in the room. Would you give me a wave? Yeah. Yeah. I want to encourage you to dream. I think it's so important to dream. You know, we see it referenced in the Bible in Joel. It talks about, you know, old men and young men dreaming dreams, having visions. But I also wonder if there's people in the room that maybe have had a dream or desire or a hope in God, and it's been a long time that you've been praying for something. And it's a long time praying, and not seeing anything shift in the natural. I wonder if there's people in the room that have been praying for something for 5 years, 7 years, maybe 10 years, maybe even 20 years, and there hasn't been a shift yet in the natural. I wonder if there's people that have been walking out that season that maybe because there hasn't been a shift, a little bit of hopelessness has come in. I wonder if there's people in the room this morning, because the title of my sermon is It Came to Pass. And I really sense this morning that God wants to revive hope and faith in this room, in the body. You know, I love what Pastor Rob said. You know, he talked about hope and faith. You know, we were praying in the prayer meeting about it. I really sense that God wants to revive that hope and faith in him, to revive dreams and desires, visions maybe that we've put on the shelf, you know. Is that all right this morning? Yeah. So the central scripture that I want us to look at is in 1 Kings 18. But before we go there, I want to give a little bit of context for what happened in 1 Kings 17. And this is, we see King Ahab in 1 Kings 17. We'll go there in a minute. 1 Kings 17, King Ahab is reigning and he marries Jezebel. And Jezebel in her family line actually has idolatry, worship of false gods. We see it with Baal and we see it with Asherah. And so King Ahab builds an altar for Baal. And they start to worship Baal. And eventually, God's angered by the worship of false gods. So through Elijah the prophet, he speaks and he says, Elijah proclaims that there will be no dew or rain in the land until the word of God comes again. And so there's a drought that happens. And so we'll pick up the word in 1 Kings 18 verse 1. And for time's sake, we won't read the whole of 1 Kings 18, but context is there's a drought. You know, God's angered by the worship of false gods. And so in verse 1, it says this, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go present yourself to Ahab and I'll send rain on the earth.'" So it's been about 3 years and 6 months since they've had rain. And so Elijah is obedient and he presents himself to King Ahab. And there's a severe famine in Samaria and it's, you know, obviously with no rain agriculturally, livestock, what are they drinking? What are people eating? It's desolate. And so Elijah obeys King Ahab and he goes and presents. Elijah obeys God and he goes to King Ahab and he says, you know, gather the people. And so we see that once everyone's gathered, because Elijah has a word. And we pick up in verse 21. So he's gathered the people, the false prophets of Baal, ones that are worshipping. And he says, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." So he's challenging their worship. And then in between, he instructs them to bring two piles of wood and two sacrifices, and he's following what God has told him to do. He says not to put any fire on the wood or the sacrifices. And then in verse 21, he says, "Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God." And so this is Elijah challenging them. You know, "You're worshipping Baal. Well, call on your God and let's see him answer in fire." And so hours go by and they're worshipping Baal. And in between, Elijah gets a little bit sassy. He says, "Maybe your God is sleeping or, you know, relieving yourself, or maybe he's at Kmart because there's fire not coming." But then hours pass and we pick up again in verse 36, and it says this: "It came to pass." Everyone say, "It came to pass." "At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel.'" Love that. "And I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your word." So he's saying, "God, you've told me to do this. Hear me, O Lord, that these people may know that you are the Lord God and that you've turned their hearts back to you again." And we see that the fire of the Lord falls and he consumes the burnt sacrifice, licks up all the water. So it's a demonstration of God coming down and revealing, "I am the one God. I am the true God." I love that. I love that. And the people, they fall on their faces and they say, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." And then it doesn't go that well for the false prophets of Baal, because Elijah seizes them and kills them. But what happens next is really interesting. Afterward, he tells King Ahab, "Get up and eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming." And Elijah climbs to the top of Mount Carmel and he bows low and sends his servant out to check for rain while he's praying. And then we pick up again in verse 44. It says, "Then it came to pass the seventh time, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." The servant sees the cloud as small as the man's hand. So small. So Elijah says, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and winds, and there was a heavy rain." It came to pass. It came to pass. It's mentioned multiple times in 1 Kings 18. And we see the connection of God speaking a word and then fulfilling it in the natural with the words, "It came to pass." It is the demonstration in Scripture of something that God said previously to then fulfilling it on earth. So what he said in the supernatural, "It came to pass," is evidence of it being performed in the natural. Because it came to pass that the rain came from God. He said, "I'll send the rain." And then it came. It came to pass. Love those words in Scripture. It's the connection of what God said in the supernatural to the fulfillment of his word in the natural. And interestingly, we see that Baal is actually, they believed that Baal was the god of rain and thunder and agricultural fertility. Isn't that so interesting? In the middle of a drought, not seeing anything shift in the natural, I'll worship Baal because maybe he'll bring the rain. Maybe he'll provide the needs that we need. Turning our eyes from the one true God, where the fire comes down, says, I am the God. So interesting. So interesting. You know, God gives us permission to hope and dream in him and have faith in his word when it says it came to pass. That scripture gives us hope. It revives our hope and faith because it's saying what he said, it came to pass. That gives us hope and faith that we can trust God's word and what he says he will do. So if we're praying for something and we haven't seen anything shift in the natural, it gives us hope. I just love in Numbers 23 where it talks about God not being a man so he shall not lie. And it asks the question, has he ever promised something and not fulfilled it? He asks us that. Have I ever promised something and not fulfilled it? Challenging. When we have a desire and a hope or a dream or a vision, something on our heart, the best thing that we can do is take it to God. Well, maybe it's an ache. Maybe there's a healing need. The best thing that we can do is take it to God and find out what he would say to us, because we can take it to man and ask what man thinks about a baby, a marriage, business, a podcast, buying a house. But the best thing that we can do is take it to God and say, God, what would you say about this? What would you say about this dream that I have? What would you say about this desire in my heart? What would you say with this ache that I have? And that's the first point, is to get the word from God. You know, I love that Elijah first gets a word from God. He gets that word first. He hears what God says about a situation, about a circumstance, about the Israelites, about what's happening. God, what would you say? He gets the word. God, I have a desire for a child. What would you say to me about that? God, I have a desire to start a business, or I'm feeling stirred for this area of the community. God, what would you say about that? Because once we get the word, we write it down and we can run with it. And Habakkuk 2 says, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord said to me. What the Lord says to me. And he says this, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. Another translation actually says that he may run who reads it. Get the word and run with it. That he may run who reads it. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end. And it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in wait, in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Our perceived delay is not God's denial. We're doing okay this morning. We get the word from God. What do you say to me about this, Lord? Because let me tell you, when there's something on my heart or there's a desire or a dream, I take it to God. I'm like, God, what do you say about this? And when he says yes, I'm running with it. It's on my phone wallpaper. It's on my walls. It's there. I can see it because I'm running with it because God said it. And we know that it came to pass. If he said it, he'll do it. Let me tell you that when we get the word from God and we're writing it down and we're running with it and we're speaking it out, it cracks something open in the natural. It creates a space for the supernatural to crack open into the natural because we're declaring what God has said. We're running with it. where we're not giving up hope. The second thing is that we can get our hopes up. We can get our hopes up in God. We can. We can trust Him. We can trust Him with our hopes. You know, there might be some people in the room thinking, well, I hear you, but I've been praying about this for 10 years. I get it. I do. I get it. But one thing that we can see in this scripture is that He's faithful and He fulfills His word. And hope is so important, like Pastor Rob has talked about and has talked about many times in this church. Hope is so important. You don't realize how important hope is until you don't have it. You know, I love what Christine Kane said recently in one of her sermons. She said, go again. Go again. If you haven't seen the shift in the natural yet, the word is still in the supernatural. Go again. Don't give up. Keep praying. Get your hopes up. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Another translation says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. I love that. He can be trusted to keep his promise. And something that Mia Fields said recently really struck a chord in me. She said, people believe that God can do it and people believe that God will do it, but people have a problem believing that he wants to do it. Struck a chord in me. He does want to do it. He places desires in our heart to then fulfill. And when they're worshipping Baal, believing and praying, we're in a drought. We need rain. We need something for our livestock. We need a shift agriculturally. You know what God does through Elijah? He says, I'm sending the rain. In the midst of this drought and this desolate season, I'm sending the rain. And it will come to pass, and it does. Because Elijah goes up to the mountain and he prays and he sees the tiny cloud. The servant sees the tiny cloud. But Elijah hears the rainstorm before it takes place. And he postures himself in prayer. Because God, you said it, so I'm going to pray and believe that you're going to do it. And he does do it. The rain comes. And I just love that it doesn't happen because Elijah proclaimed it. It happens because Elijah proclaimed what God said he would do. And that's where we get the word and we write it down and we run with it. We proclaim what he has said to us. We can get our hopes up. We can expect him to fulfill it. It came to pass allows us to get our hopes up in God. It came to pass. It may be his timeline. It may be, maybe it doesn't happen the way we think it would. But it came to pass. The timeline between us getting the word and God fulfilling it is a measure of our faith. And it also is an opportunity for surrender. Surrendering how we think it might look, but still holding on faith. There's this tension that we carry when it comes to hopes and dreams and the promise and a vision that God's given us. There's a tension that we carry from the word that God gives us to it being fulfilled in the middle, where we're called to have faith, but we're not called to try and manufacture it. And it's that tension that we swing between of God, I know you'll do it, but I also want to partner with what you've said. And the third point is to get ready to stay ready. Get ready to stay ready. You know, I've been doing some more hosting at my house and something that I'm feeling in this season, open up my home more. And I was looking at my dining table about a month ago and there's benches around it. And I put some chair pads down thinking maybe that will be comfortable, but you know, it's not that comfortable sitting around a table for hours on end with a wooden bench. And so I thought, okay, I need to get some dining chairs for the table. And love Kmart, so I went on Kmart because there was these chairs that went viral, and they're solid and they're aesthetically pleasing and cheap, like pretty cheap. There's dining chairs like $300 per chair. I'm like, I don't partner with that. Believing that, God, if you're calling me to host, that I'll have some cheap, solid chairs. And so I bought one and I frustratingly put it together. Anyone else get frustrated when they have to put something together? Just me. Man, it's like, yeah, I was getting angry at this chair. But then I put it together. I thought, okay, I like it. I want to see if there's five more for my dining table. And I looked online and I was like going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's like, oh, it's in stock. And then I clicked 6 and was like out of stock. I'm like, there's only 5 left. And they were sold out online, and nowhere else had them. And so I started to panic. So I'm like, oh man, I've got one of these chairs. I need 5 more to host. And so I thought, okay, I'll place a click and collect because it's 5:45 and I want to go to the prayer meeting. And I don't think Pastor Rob would be too happy if I went to Kmart instead of the prayer meeting. True, he says. True. And so I place a click and collect, and then I start to panic. Like, but what if someone buys the chairs in the meantime? Like, I've had a past experience, bless Kmart, love Kmart, but my click and collect's been sitting out on the shelf for hours before someone's put it behind the stockroom. And so I thought, okay, I've got a plan. In the morning, I'll go to Kmart and I'll just check to see if they're there. And if they're not on the floor, I'll freak out because maybe someone's bought them, or I'll trust that they're behind the stockroom. And in the morning, I felt God say, do you trust me? I'm like, yeah, I trust you. Don't go. I'm like, okay. I need to go to Bunnings though. I need to get something from Bunnings. So I'll just go to Bunnings. And I went to Bunnings and I'm like, I'm already out. Like, maybe I'll just go to Kmart. I feel like I need something from Kmart. Like, women, we need something from Kmart. Also, I know, like, Dave loves Kmart too. So Dave's like, yeah, we need something from... I know the men love Kmart as well. And so I'm like, you know what? I'll just go to Kmart. It's fine. Like, I just won't look at the chairs. I did end up buying something. And then I'm like, I'm just going to do a sneaky look at the chairs. Like, I'll just take a trolley just in case. All the while, God's like, don't go. And then I get there and there's nothing on the shelf. I'm like, ooh, panic. I'm like, okay, someone's either bought these viral chairs, because that happens, or they're out the back. And so I leave, I'm driving home, and I've been praying about these chairs. I'm like, God, I know that you're a father that cares about the desires materialistic of my heart. But I want to host for you, Lord. And I get this thought as I'm about to turn the corner into my street that I'm going to get this message on my phone that my click and collect will be ready once I'm home. I'm like, oh, surely not. Pull in, get out of the car, walk inside. Vibrate, ping, your click and collect is ready. I'm like, oh, God knew. That's such a waste of my time. But then I'm like, yes, Lord, I've got the chairs. So I go to the back thing and load these 5 chairs up and take them home, carry these big boxes in. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. You answered my prayer. And then something hits me and I'm looking at these 5 chairs. I'm like, oh, I now have to do the work. I have to frustratingly put these 5 chairs together. And I felt the Lord say to me in the moment, you prayed for this. You wanted it, but you didn't consider the work that would come after it once I fulfilled it. Like, yeah. If only the Lord had an Allen key with me. So I'm like, I had to walk away from those chairs multiple times. But see, it's like we might be praying for something, but on the other end when we receive it, because he will give it to us, are we ready for it? Are we willing to put the work in? You know, we can be praying for marriage, we can be praying for a business, a baby, but are we ready to lay our life down for someone else as a spouse? Are we preparing? Are we ready? And, you know, God doesn't withhold something because we're not ready. He's not a formula where it's like, okay, take our heart to him. We're ready. Now he's going to give it to us. And because it's not something we can strive for, because then he wouldn't get the glory, because it's like, I do this and he does this. But I do believe that in the season before we see it came to pass, that there's an element of preparation that he wants us to do, to partner with him. And so when God has given something to me on my heart, I'll journal and I'll say, God, what can I do in this season? How can I prepare? For one thing, I literally heard crickets. Crickets. God's like, nothing. But something else, he's like, yeah, do this. It's like preparing, getting ready to stay ready. And that's what Elijah did. He said to King Ahab, go up, get up and eat and drink. Prepare the chariot. It's an element of preparation for what we're praying for. Psalm 84:11 says, for the Lord God is our sun and shield. Love that. No good thing does he withhold from those who do what is right. He doesn't withhold the good thing because we have to do something to get it, to strive for it. If he's withholding a good thing, then maybe it's a bad thing at the wrong time. It can be a good thing, but given to us at the wrong time, it's a bad thing. And so it's about getting our mind in the right heavenly perspective, that he's not withholding the good thing from us. He's not doing that. It's his timing, it's his timeline, it's his perfect fulfillment of the word at the right time. God is such a kind God that he creates space for us to prepare and get ready for what we're praying for what we're hoping for. You know, I've done some crazy things in faith. I can't tell you right now because I'd just be some crazy lady. But one day I'll be able to tell you some of the things that God has told me to do in faith, to partner with heaven for earth to fulfill. And it's not that I'm making it happen. It's that he's inviting me to partner with his word and get ready to stay ready. I just love that. In James 2:17, it says, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. He went up and prayed. He postured himself. He acted. He took a step. He didn't just sit down and go, all right, you said it. Let's see it. I mean, we could do that. But he's like, no, you said it. So I'm going to go up and I'm going to pray and I'm going to partner with your word that you said that it's going to rain. So I'm going to bow low. And I'm going to pray and believe. I'm going to send my servant out in faith because he will tell me when the rain is coming. Because if God said it, he will fulfill it. Amen? Maybe the worship team could come up for me. Good time. You know, for God to get the glory, he has to be part of the story. And he desires that he would get the glory for our story. He's worthy of that. And that's why, like I said earlier, it didn't happen because Elijah said it. It happened because Elijah proclaimed what God said. His word does not return void. It accomplishes all it is to accomplish. So good. You know, 3.5 years, they were in the drought. It's really not that long in comparison to other times in the Bible where someone was waiting on what God said. We look at Abraham and we see it was over 20 years, maybe even 25 years it was between God saying, I will make you a father of many nations, to it actually happening. Well, to Isaac being born, essentially. And see, even Abraham in Genesis 24 postured himself in preparation and acted in faith, because we see him send out his servant and camels in preparation. We see that he says, God, you've said that you will make me a father of many nations. I've got a single 40-year-old son. Someone out there just said amen. Single 40-year-old son, amen. I've got a single son. You've said this. All right, I'm not going to manufacture it, but I'm going to send the servant in faith with the camels, and I'm going to believe. And the servant says, Lord, let the one, the woman for Isaac, be the one that offers the camels a drink, and that's how I will know. And you know, what is Isaac doing when Rebecca comes back with the servant? What is he doing? He's in the field meditating on God. He's spending time with God. He's in the presence. And that's the fourth point, is when we get in God's presence, man, it puts order for our promises and our dreams and our hopes, our visions, because it puts God at the top and then all of those are underneath. It reminds us that He is above that. That yes, God wants us to dream and desire, and He wants us to partner with what He wants to do in our life. He's such a loving, kind God. But it says, seek first the kingdom and everything else will be added. Could we stand together this morning? He wants to do it. He can do it, He will do it, and He wants to do it. He wants to. But while we're praying and while we're believing, while we're activating our faith, the one thing, Psalm 27:4, oh, but the one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections, meditating in His temple. The one thing. He's above the promise. Sometimes we can seek what He can do rather than just seek His face. I'm guilty of it. And so this morning, I really do feel that God wanted to revive hope and faith in this place. I believe that there's people in the room that have become weary in what they're praying for. There's still a desire on your heart. Babies, businesses, and what was the third? Books. Babies, businesses, and books was the three things I felt, three B's I felt God say to me. Babies, businesses, books. You know, if you're feeling to write a book, talk to Pastor Ben, talk to Laura Brand. We've got some amazing people in this church. And I also sensed just a reviving of hope and faith for other dreams and desires, healing, marriages, you know. God loves marriage. He does. He loves it. He loves the coming together of two people that love Him. He loves covenant. But in this space, I really feel to turn our eyes to Him, to believe and have faith and hope again for desires that have been put on the shelf, for those to be revived again, to pray into those boldly. But in this space, let's just worship Him. Let's seek first the kingdom. Everything else is added. It's gonna order our desires. It's so important for them to take their place under the Lord, not above Him. Thanks, worship team.